Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Justin Tyler and Alex Albin!
Yeah! What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club!
I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we're very excited to have you guys here today.
Yes.
This is a big, exciting day.
Yeah.
Big, exciting show. Pete is sadly not here. I don't even remember where he is.
I actually don't know either. He didn't say, which is
like,
weird.
He's not going
to
be here.
Because he often says very specifically, I have to go do this. I have to rush across the border because I'm in trouble again. And things like that. And this time he just was like, ghost.
Yeah. He actually, he just disappeared in a puff of smoke. It was pretty weird.
Yeah, he straight ghosted.
Yeah.
Oh, he's an amateur magician, as you, I'm sure you guys know that.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know
he's
that.
He's a very accomplished amateur magician, because he can't disappear, which is a harder trick.
Yeah, he's actually going to be starring in Now You See Me Too.
Yeah, it's really exciting. He's the only star.
Huge. He's probably filming that.
And
right
he has cut several women in half, and that's why he had to go across the border once again.
There you go. Speaking of ghosts, you know who else is a ghost?
Mm-hmm.
The Winter Soldier.
Interesting.
Yes. And we're going to talk about the movie a little later on because I've actually seen it.
So holy I'll give you guys shit. What a...
No spoilers, but I'll talk to you guys about what went on. But I did pick up, before I saw the movie, the World of Reading, Level 2, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Falcon Takes Flight.
Now, this is a children's book, and I believe you did this once before.
I did.
And it gave away several spoilers about the movie.
I will say there's massive spoilers in here, so you guys...
There really is.
No.
Oh.
But what was thank the other you one? For ruining my bit.
What was the other one that you picked up and it revealed?
It was Iron Man 3. There was actually something about that I remember the other day. So in the Iron Man 3 book, there was this thing where Pepper Potts was friends with a new guy named Aldrich Killian.
Yeah.
Tony was really sad about them being friends.
Yeah.
That was something that was in the book. It turns out the reason that was in the book is because Pepper Potts was supposed to be tricked into making a sex tape with Killian in the movie, and they cut it. And that's what was in the children's book.
Wow, that's fucked up.
There you go. So do you mind holding this so I can read the book to you guys?
Hold your microphone?
Yeah, hold my microphone.
Great, sure.
Yeah, well, this way I can show the pictures, and if you're listening at home, buy a copy of this book, stop the podcast, go to Barnes & Noble.
Buy more children's books.
Yeah. Captain America liked to run. He ran every morning. One morning, he met another person who also liked to run. His name was Sam Wilson. Sam and Captain America had something in common. Both were soldiers in the military. Sam was now retired, but Captain America still had top secret missions. Captain America worked to fight bad guys and rescue hostages. Sam worked to help other veterans like himself. They both had different jobs, yet both were important.
Wow.
Captain America and Black Widow went to Sam one day. They had a problem. They needed help. Captain America was in a fight with an old friend. Here comes the spoiler. His name was Bucky. He was also
That's a huge spoiler.
Yeah. He was also called Winter Soldier, spoiler. He had become mean. He was out hurting other people.
Oh, you know, I never... That's a great translation of their relationship.
Yeah, no. Well, this is actually Ed Brubaker wrote this.
Yeah.
Didn't have to think about it. Of course he would help. Captain America was a fellow soldier in need. Sam Wilson would answer the call. Captain America... Actually, we are going to get spoilers here now that I think about it. Here, I'm going to flip... To the non-spoilery part.
You just flipped through like 9 pages.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy spoilers in here. Oh,
this is all redacted.
Bucky hit Falcon with his metal arm. It was a great fight. His metal fist punched the metal shield. Crack! This was going to be a tough fight. The team would not give up. Soon they beat Bucky. Bucky would not get caught. Bucky escaped on a helicopter. Captain America had lost a friend. He had also made a new friend. His name was Falcon.
The wow.
End. So there you go. Thank you.
Lovely.
Thank you. Don't pick up that book, actually. There's huge spoilers for the movie.
It doesn't make any sense to
me. Well, I'll tell you. I also read the Captain America Junior novelization.
You are crushing children's books these days.
I am. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm always hanging out in the children's section of the Barnes & Noble.
I mean, it's very close to where the graphic novels are. Wait, what were you going to say?
Oh, all I was going to say is that actually ends about a third away the way through the movie. And they're like, I don't know what's going to happen.
You'd think they would wait and release it afterwards. Because
right?
I think the idea is it needs to be like the movie so a kid who sees the movie can be like, I can follow along with the adventure. Yeah. But if it comes out first.
There's sometimes that they do that. Like there's a guy I'm friends with on Facebook named Greg Cox, and he writes movie adaptations. He's doing the one for Godzilla, And that's actually coming out a little after the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though, spoiler for Godzilla, he's a big monster who kills people.
Right. Oh, shit. Oh, well.
Yeah. Speaking of monsters, these are two monsters that we have on the show tonight.
Straight monsters.
Monsters of their respective trades. One of them is the artist of DC Comics, Wonder Woman. The other is the owner of Iconic Wines. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Chiang and Burke O'Halloran.
Yeah.
Yes. Come on up. Come on up, guys, please. Guys, grab your microphones.
Saddle up.
It's going to be hard to record you for a podcast if we don't have your microphones. So.
A little editor's tip.
Yeah, there you go. That's a hot tech tip. So, guys, we're very excited to have you back here on the show. Cliff, let's chat with you first about Wonder Woman. Sure. So you're actually wrapping up the run on that.
Yeah, we had a 3-year story planned, and we're getting close to the end of it. So we've got, you know, probably another 6 issues or so.
So what was the journey like for you? I remember talking to you before it started. It definitely seemed like a crazy thing. Biggest thing you were getting into was right at the beginning of the New 52. Did things change? What's the experience been like?
The beginning of the New 52 was definitely a lot bigger than anyone expected it to be. You know, just relaunching the books and everything seemed like a really bold move, but the response to it was so big that it really kind of snowballed. And, you know, we were kind of unprepared for how successful it was because we figured we'd just do the book and it would come out and, you know, people, and we'd just be able to do, you know, a year or two or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But we had this 3-year arc planned, and it's really gratifying that we can finally get to the end of it and kind of pay off all the stuff that we've been seeding since the beginning. So it's a cool experience. I mean, you know, it's like planting something and then coming back, you know, 3 years later. It's like a time capsule.
And Wonder Woman's one of the only books that hasn't been involved in a lot of the crossovers. And sort of, it was like, this is a story we're telling. We're going to be here by ourselves. Don't bother us.
Yeah, we've been really lucky. They've kind of let us not, you know, they haven't asked us to tie in too much. We have done some stuff to try and, you know, kind of integrate other stuff, you know, like having Orion, I think, was a way of bringing the larger DCU in and stuff like that. But they've been great about letting Brian tell the story that he wants to tell.
Have there been any overtures to bring it more into the DC, into the New 52 at all?
You know, if it made sense, I guess. But, you know, I haven't been, I don't know what those conversations are like between Dan DiDio and Brian.
Yeah,
it's probably like a staring contest over beers, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine having interviewed Brian a couple of times that it was basically Dan DiDio staring at him for 10 minutes and then Brian saying, "No."
Right.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. No,
what
thanks.
Do you think?
Meeting concluded.
Yeah. So talk about designing the characters a little bit. So you've gotten to design the entire Greek pantheon at this point. Was there any character you didn't quite get to?
There are a few. There's definitely one notable exception that we haven't tackled yet, and you know, you'll kind of have to, you'll see where that leads, you know, by the end of it. But you know, one of the things we came into when we started it was, you know, we said no togas, you know, because like every time you see Greek gods, it's like togas and like, you know, laurel leaves and everything, and it's that whole classical Greek imagery that we try to move away from, because, you know, we want you to experience these characters in a new way. You know, whether or not, you know, they're related to these old gods, we want you to kind of come at them with different expectations. So we try to go more urban fantasy, urban horror, you know, and give them looks that reflected what their characters were, you know. So, you know, you look at Apollo and you can tell that he's ambitious and powerful and maybe a little greedy, you know. And then you look at someone like Hephaestus, and you can see how he was thrown out of Olympus. You know, you can see why, and you can see how that's affected him. You can see what his abilities are. So every character is this kind of back and forth between Brian and I, starting with, you know, what's his character do, what's their role in the story, and how do we bring that out, you know, visually.
What inspired you with Ares' beard?
Ares' beard was, we tried to think of, like, make Ares really, really disgusting, kind of old and decrepit, and, you know, and I looked at Brian's beard.
You were like, bingo.
Yeah, I think we got it.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
It's so clear that that's where it came from. Like, in the comic, I was like, that's Azzarello's beard, like, very clearly.
It was, no, we had talked about him maybe looking a little bit like John Hurt, you know, this kind of like older guy who's kind of like withered and tired, you know, and like kind of broken down by the mantle of being the god of war, because modern war is so, it's not what it was. There's no glory to it anymore. And so he said, you know, you should look old, you know, and have a beard and be bald. And I was like,
and you were like, you're describing yourself.
Right.
You know that,
I said,
right?
Yeah, so you should look like you. He was like, yeah, make him look like me. So I did. And, you know, about like, you know, half an hour later, I sent back a sketch and it looked like Brian. And I was surprised at how well it worked, especially after I like blackened in his eyes. And it was just kind of this dead look. And he was like, you know, this works. You know, so we went with it.
Yeah, this works. Click. Go to hell.
So are you going to end up in the book at any point? Are you Zeus?
Right. I'm Wonder Woman.
You got to see yourself in one character.
Yeah, you know.
So there's a lot of, you probably get this all the time, but there's a lot of talk about Wonder Woman in Batman versus Superman. What's your take on Gal Gadot?
I don't have one. I mean, I think she's a really beautiful woman. I don't know. I think the most important thing is how they write her. There's a lot of kind of sloppy writing around, and especially when it comes to female characters. So if it doesn't matter who they cast, if you know, you could cast a giant bruiser, but if you have her acting, you know, really weak, then it doesn't make a difference. If you have her as a supporting, you know, a really marginal character in the story, it's not going to make a difference. So it's all down to the writers and directors making sure that she is as powerful as she should be.
If you were going to design Wonder Woman's costume for a movie, what would your take be?
I think just for shits and giggles, I'd give her pants, because people seem to like pants. It was like the
people
one...
in general?
Yeah, no, I like pants.
I mean, you were all wearing pants. Yeah, makes sense.
Well, you started out with Wonder Woman having pants, they de-pantsed her.
They pantsed her.
No, it's a tricky thing.
That's actually the word. You don't have to...
I don't remember that having the issue where someone was like,
she's like, oh, no, I'm so embarrassed in front of my whole high school. That's her voice, by the way.
Great impression.
I'm Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I don't know. Pants seems to be a big thing, and because I've now drawn her, you know, for a few years now, you know, in the standard costume. It's like, well, why don't we try a look with pants? Although it would involve her being more covered up overall, I think, in order to have that make sense. I wasn't that fond of the new 52 design with pants because it was all black from the waist down, and it was like kind of really heavy, and it didn't balance out. And like the fact that she had these bare shoulders didn't look right.
Yeah,
you know, just for balance. I think actually I have a design where she has pants. I mean, maybe, you know, hopefully we'll be able to show that before the end.
Cool. Maybe they could do an event movie, Wonder Woman Pants.
Yeah.
That's actually the name of the last volume of Wonder
really?
Woman
Pants. Yeah.
This whole thing, the 3 years.
The last one is Wonder Woman Pants. And
the villain is her tailor because he keeps blowing it. The hem is all messed up. I know about stuff.
So you've also designed wine labels for this guy, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so how'd you guys... I think we talked about this the last time you were on the show a little bit, but how'd you guys get hooked up?
I think we met 2010 Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, it was awesome. I was there with my business partner, and we just went around and started kind of... Basically, so a little background. I mean, our projects... started as a side project for me and is fast taking over my life. But we have a lot more...
Wait, you can't do a casual vineyard?
I know.
casual.
Nah.
Time sharing.
I have a couple bushes. Yeah. I make a small glass full of wine every year. Don't waste it. Yeah.
But we basically wandered around to artists we really liked and started talking to them, introducing ourselves, and we have a lot more wine than we have money. So we got really lucky to meet really comic book artists that would like work for trade, and we were like, hey, we have this really awesome, like pretty high end wine we're doing, but we need labels for it. And so, we've yet to work with a not drinking artist.
Imagine.
So what was I've completely blanked. What was the name of Cliff's wine? What did he design?
He did a label. He ended up actually. It was funny. It's one of these things in winemaking. We originally had this idea where we were going to make a rosé and call it Secret Identity. And as we played with it, we ended up, the way we made the wine, we had another part that we aged in oak. And last minute, as we were playing with blends, we decided they were different wines. They didn't make a better wine when you blended them. They were both good. But so we did this last minute spinoff, and Cliff was really cool about it and changed the art. So he actually did two labels for us. It was Secret Identity, which is the original, and then we called one Secret Ingredient.
Yeah. Yeah. A variant.
Awesome.
1 in 10. You can buy 10 bottles. Of, you can
get that. Much more valuable variant.
Yeah, that's right.
3D, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's actually, you know, there's only 50, actually not even like 45 cases of that, where there was like 150 cases of Secret Identity.
I believe we tried both of those last time you were on the show.
Yeah, we did. Actually.
Very good.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you actually have a new vintage that you're putting out?
We do. So one of the things of being a small winemaker is as we grew and we started to focus, our original, how this all got started was I got kind of drunk at a wedding with some guys that were winemakers.
I have a lot of great ideas to when I'm drunk at
exactly.
weddings.
Exactly. Well. Like, I've actually chalked up my entire career to just getting like drunk in the right places.
Yeah, that's what they never tell you.
Yeah.
All those breaking into comics panels, just drinking in the right place.
Drunk. You're drinking in the wrong bars,
true,
kids.
Right? It's kind of true.
No, for sure. So we started with Chardonnay, and we ended up actually skipping a vintage, so we didn't make Secret Identity this year, to double down and make twice as much Chardonnay and kind of focus and
got to double down on the Chardonnay.
Exactly. So that's always been our flagship wine, what we call Heroin, with an E on the end.
Good choice.
Yeah. We almost put on the corks this year. The E makes all the difference.
Nice. E is also the name of a drug. Yeah, so so play cool. Play cool with that.
Yeah. Oh, it's Heroin with E. Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yummy.
So yeah, so we're about to release our third vintage of that, the 2012. So we brought a few bottles tonight to share with everyone, so you guys get to
awesome sampling.
So, yeah. So if you're listening to the podcast at home, get some wine.
Yep, prepare your own wine. Call your vintner.
Right, pause the podcast. Wait, how long does it take to make a wine?
In this case, it takes us a little over a year before.
Great. So pause the podcast. Wait a year,
and actually make a wine.
Wine, and then come back and.
Well, you just get a couple of grapes out of the crisper, put them in a cup, and mash them up.
The grape crisper.
Yeah, in the bottom of your fridge.
Oh, okay.
CRISPR.
I thought you were talking about like a wine term, like a wine machine that crisps up grapes, but
no,
you were actually
Alex,
using
no.
a silly term for.
There's actually, I feel bad. I should remember the name of this. I just was watching a video online about there's a company called Lot 18 that's this big kind of online retailer of wine, and they do closeouts. But that guy, the founder of that, just left to start a like wine making thing that sits on your countertop. And you literally add like tap water and like grape ingredients.
Oh,
and
that
yeast.
Stuff's gonna
it's
be gonna delicious. Nice.
And, a button. And it like links to your iPhone, so you right. can like tell it when to like change temperature and ferment and all of this. And I was like, ooh, that's
really?
Gonna work out.
That's amazing.
He just raised like $3 million to build this thing.
Really?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That sounds like gonna
Siri,
kill people.
Siri, make me wine.
Yeah. I really need a glass of wine, Siri.
Okay, I'll make
I'm
that.
I'm working
for you.
On it now. Go home, open your toaster, it'll be there.
If the listeners want to drink the wine that we're opening here tonight, where can they get it?
Ooh, Cliff, great business
wow.
side.
Like
good job. Great.
This is why nice we work with them, really. Right. Like, so we...
I actually like it. I need to get some more, so...
Yeah, it needs to keep happening.
Yeah, there you go.
No, we predominantly... sell through mostly fine wine kind of shops or restaurants here in New York and California. So either that or we have a mailing list.
Some high-class shit right there.
Mailing
list.
Mailing list.
I know.
Well,
subscription
model.
How would I sign up for your mailing list?
So it's the overall company is called Iconic Wine. So it's just iconicwine.com. And then there's a quick little mailing list thing there. And
awesome.
I couldn't believe 3 years ago that name was available. We actually, before we...
That's a great name.
Yeah. Before we even started the business, we had someone call and offer us like $3,000 for the domain name alone.
Really?
I was, to be honest, was very tempted to take it because we needed the money at the time.
Yeah, I came up with this drunk at a wedding, so sure, $3,000, I'll take it.
So what do you have coming up? Are you working on any other vintages right now?
Yes, we have a few really kind of cool things in the works. We made two Chardonnays. Our flagship we just call Heroin that's sourced from multiple vineyards. And then we do a single vineyard the vineyard's called Michael Mara. But we call it Heroin MM because I like the whole Heroin 2000. Like.
Oh, yeah.
And then
you're going to start making hard drugs in a couple months.
I got drunk at a wedding.
You're this
now
close.
I'm a heroin dealer.
Now we just make meth.
Yeah, exactly.
But the new project that it will probably come together here in the next little bit is keg wine.
Nice.
So we would actually do a very small bottling that you would have to just buy off our website, but we would do, or at the winery, but we would sell keg wine throughout New York and California, and I might hit up Cliff after the show to design a tap handle.
Oh, sure. Great.
Absolutely.
Great stuff.
Great. A tap handle actually showed up in the last issue of Wonder Woman, so that's...
there you go. Right? Product placement, that's seriously. Yeah.
Would you actually, I don't even know what would be involved in this, but could you ever actually do like a Wonder Woman wine or some sort of branded wine like that, or is that too complicated?
I met a woman that did an NFL wine. So she, like,
tasty.
It's Major League Baseball. So she pizza. Did like Yankees wine, and all, but it was like this whole ridiculous licensing thing, and you're paying for the license more than the wine.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
But
Yankees wine.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I go to Yankee Stadium, I sit down in the seats. First thing I do is I get a flight.
Yeah.
I get a flight of wine.
Flight of wines.
And I just I taste the wines.
What caviars do you have here in the bleacher? The I don't even know. I haven't been
$10 seats. That are outside of the
what are those club. Called? The shitty bleachers?
Nosebleed.
No, they have a name. I forget what it is. Cheap seats, yeah.
Cheap seats.
Okay, that's the word. Those are the words I was thinking of. What are those things you sit on? Seats. Yeah, the cheaper ones.
Cool. But, so it would be difficult to do.
Yeah, I think so. Although I should throw out to the listeners, on the keg wine project, it has yet remained unnamed. So we've been kind of slowly potentially calling it Sidekick.
Because
it would be a little less expensive.
Nice.
Like... But if anyone wants to email me with suggestions, like I will like gladly pay them in wine, like I pay everyone else. But
that's how I prefer.
Definitely, it's in flux, yet unnamed.
How big is a keg of wine? Or do you get it in a keg, or you get, how does it?
Yeah, so typically wine kegs are a little smaller, just to from a spoilage standpoint, the volume is less than what you do with beer. So they're 20 liters on average. So basically, it's half a normal keg of beer.
Oh, okay.
But.
Yeah. So the sign thing psychicking works because it's actually smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Great. I think that's a good name. Do I get free wine because I agreed with you?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah,
sure.
Just agreement is enough. For free.
Great. This is amazing. This night is working out wonderfully for me. All right, guys. We are going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that we particularly like this week.
Certainly.
We're going to kick it off talking about, from Marvel Comics, going to show that over there,
yeah.
Moon Knight number one.
Yeah.
This is by Warren Ellis, art by Declan Shelvey and Jordi Belair. So what did you think about this book?
I thought this was great. They took a lot of the, they're like, yeah, Moon Knight's crazy, blah, 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 and like made him like sort of crazy, but also more directed. I feel like Bendis' Moon Knight was like crazy, but he sort of wandered around a lot. In this, he seems a little bit more focused, and there's a little bit more going on. He's working with the cops a little bit. He wears a sweet suit, but his dry cleaning bill has got to be high.
Yeah, the big change, I think, which I love about this book, is that typically Moon Knight has been Batman but dressed in white for some no particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
And in this issue, you get the explanation of the reason he does that is he wants people to see him coming.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hide in the shadows. He already has a plan. He's already figured it out. So he's like, good, you see me coming? At least then you're going to give up easier. And it's great.
Yeah.
It's also scary at the same time. There's some pretty terrifying horror type stuff in here going on with Moon Knight's mind. For those of you who don't know Moon Knight's origin, he was originally taken over by this Egyptian god. Is it Shanshu?
Khonshu, I believe.
Khonshu.
He was dying
Shanshu
in
Shanshu is an angel.
Whoa. He was dying in Khonshu's temple, I believe, and he got offered to be Moon Knight.
Yeah, and so over time, there's been things where maybe he has multiple personalities. Maybe he's crazy. Maybe he's not crazy. What's going on with him? And this brings a unique and terrifying twist to that.
Yeah.
I'll say I read this actually in the script stage before I read the issue, and it was really evocative even there, the way that Warren Ellis laid out the panels and the way that he had everything going. But he also, now looking at this with the art, this is a really different take for Declan Shelvey. I feel like Declan Shelvey has been very specific lines in his work. And here there's a lot more shading. Maybe it's Jordi Belair's coloring. I'm not quite sure. I don't know, Cliff, if you could speak to that at all.
No, it's probably the gray wash that he's doing over it that's adding like this kind of watercolor feel.
Yeah.
And it's cool. As opposed to Moon Knight, who is all white, who is very specifically lined, so he stands out on every single page.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's got a great look.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about this book going forward?
I think it's... so the story, he's sort of working with the cops call him. He has a couple cops that call him his buddies, I guess. And they're like, hey, come down. We have a weird case. He shows up. So I like that as a structure going down the line. Like, that'll lead to some... I don't know how he... Moon Knight, who often crosses over, I feel like, with the other... Or at least in the last iteration, with a lot of other Marvel characters, how that's going to play in here. Because I don't know... I don't know where that would go. But yeah, I'm excited.
I'm not sure. I feel like Warren Ellis a lot of the time will throw a really weird, interesting interpretation for a character. It works great when he's writing it, and then they try to push that character into the main Marvel universe, and it just doesn't work.
Right.
So I'm almost hoping this stays separate for a good long while.
Sounds familiar. I feel like,
what?
Sounds familiar.
It does. Familiar. Yeah, there's like a new mythology. He's not wearing pants. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Again, big outfit change.
Cool. Let's move on with the DC comic book, Action Comics, number 29. This is by Greg Pak, art by Aaron Cooter. Could pass that over to you.
Yeah. Please. Yeah,
you can do some polite applause if you guys want to.
Some quiet clapping.
Are people reading this out there or not reading it? Not yeah.
We got all right.
Resounding all right for people.
I think I don't Superman lately I feel like has been sort of a real miss, especially a lot of the new. I mean, I actually like the Superman Wonder Woman book. I think it's really nice, and Superman Batman has been pretty good, but the main Superman titles I feel like have been sort of off, and this is just great Superman. It's super ton of Superman moments where he's like just trying to be do the right thing, and it's really difficult for him. There are so many balls in the air, but there's a big monster element. It feels like big storytelling, and it's not caught up on like, is he wearing these pants? What's going on? How is he wearing jeans? It's not in that sort of, is he young? Is he old? What's he doing? How is this different from the old universe? It's just like, no, here's some good Superman stories, and I really like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. When we talked about last issue, I kind of feel the same about this one, that the two things this really has going for it is, one, Greg Pak understands the essential goodness of Superman,
yeah,
which gets lost far more times than you would think, and it completely works here. There's a moment where one of the villains, I think, says something like, oh, what were you going to do, try to save everybody? And he says, yes, I was.
Yeah, that's what I do.
That's what I do. And then he goes ahead and tries to save everybody. And the other thing is Aaron Cooter, which, again, we talked about this last time, but I feel like he's channeling Frank Quitely, but in a really unique and original way. Mm-hmm. I love the way his characters look. I love the way his monsters look. For the most part, it gives enough space for the action, which I feel like is crazy important for Superman. I just really enjoy this book a lot. And it's also taking it in directions that I don't know what's going to happen next. This is totally new villains, totally new situations. So it's very exciting.
And the other really good thing here, I think Lana Lang being in the book, and they sort of share the interior monologue a little bit here, really awesome. She's like, they talk about their childhood a lot, and they're like, don't you look at me like that. This is just like when you were holding that that puppy that was sick or whatever, and it's really cool.
Yeah, she says it just like that too. She's like, yeah, it was like when you were holding a puppy that was sick or whatever.
I mean, they do, because they're talking about their relationship is heavily featured here.
Yeah, she barely cares. She's like, oh, whatever.
No, she cares greatly.
She's like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's not...
It's a weird voice that she uses in this comic book.
Yeah.
Cliff, what's your take on this?
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, cool.
But it looks good.
Yeah. Well, Superman's dating Wonder Woman right now. Was there any thought about bringing Superman into the Wonder Woman book, or would that have been too complicated?
No. No, we heard about it, like, pretty early on. We were, actually, when we started the book, they said, you know, in about 6 months, they're going to be dating.
Yeah, we're thinking of setting up Superman and Wonder Woman. Like,
put
what do you think?
Together.
You think that's a good idea? They're both
party.
Single. I think they would really get along. You know. They have a lot, so much in common. They both fly.
Yeah. And I think Brian and I looked at each other. We're like, we don't know what to say here. And, you know, it just wasn't part of our story, so we haven't touched on it.
Yeah. So you basically just slowly backed out of the room.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
All right, let's move on with our next book, Magneto, number one from Marvel Comics.
Yeah?
Yeah. This is by Cullen Bunn. Wait, I'm going to look up who's doing the art.
Yep.
Hold on, give me a second. It's a person who's amazing.
I don't know. I think it might be one of those comics with the title page last. Yep.
All right. Gabriel Hernandez Walta does the art, and Jordi Belair on color again.
Oh, real.
There you go.
Belair Knight.
Now this over to you guys. So what did you think about this book, Justin?
I thought this was great. I was a little skeptical of a Magneto title right now because he's sort of just hanging around in the X-Men universe, not being a villain, not being particularly heroic. He's always in the background of the shots on Uncanny X-Men, being like, I don't know, what are we doing here? My powers are weird. But this is great. I really like this. There's a couple horrifying images in this book as well. And Magneto, you really get in his head in a way where I feel like you get him. He's not just a black and white villain or like, today I'm a hero for a while. This is like, there's more complexity here, which I think is awesome.
I like this book. I feel like I don't understand why this book didn't come out 4 or 5 years ago whenever X-Men First Class came out.
Well, because people get busy.
All right. X-Men First Class, the part that everybody loved about that, beyond it actually being a pretty good movie, was Magneto going around and killing Nazis, right? That was the best part of that movie.
Mm-hmm. That montage.
This is, what?
That short montage.
Well, it was awesome. Every single scene where Michael Fassbender was torturing Nazis was amazing. And this book is Magneto essentially doing the same thing, but with people who have tortured or attacked mutants.
Yeah.
It feels exactly like that. So if you like that, you're going to like this too. It's just I don't understand why this comic didn't come out right after that. It just feels like
what's holding you back is that it didn't come out in time?
Yeah.
You're often late places.
Never.
Yes, you are.
Am I?
You weren't even here last week.
You're criticizing me for being late. This is so inside baseball. We should stop.
That's okay.
Yeah, he's late all the time.
Okay, don't tell them that. That's one of my greatest secrets.
No, it's not. Are we talking about this comic book? I can't tell anymore.
Magneto.
Yes. Great book. Good art, once again. It's a lot of fun, but, you know, it should have come out 4 or 5 years ago. I think we all agreed on that.
Not unnecessary criticism. It's a great comic, and I'm going to read as many issues of this as they make.
I also am.
You don't think, do you remember, what was the show, The Shield? Was that the main actor? Like he looks really stocky.
He does look stocky. I know when I first opened this,
I always think of Magneto as like maybe because the movie screwed me up, but I now see him as this kind of more frail, like older
character. Well, it's always in the comics.
He's like Jack. He's a football player.
And he's got a real chickless look, like you're saying.
I mean, his neck is the size of his head.
Yeah.
He shaved his head so that they could do this bit in one comic where you thought he was Charles Xavier come back to life for a second, and he still has a shaved head.
Well, you don't know what's going on with him.
It's like a comedian pushing the bit a little too far. That's
I don't know. Maybe he shaved his head and then his hair grew back weird. And he's like, I guess I got to keep
shaving.
Like
on one side.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. Plus, he's like, holy, my hair's so gray. I don't want to look this old. I want to get out there. I'm single.
Yeah, I want to look young.
Woman's taken.
Or when you need to start growing a mustache, but like you can't. It's awkward. Like he has to go away for like a month.
When have you ever needed to grow a mustache? What's your life like where you're like, shit, I need this mustache. Monday morning.
Man, November for charity. Yeah.
I want your mustache on my desk by Monday.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a big mustache guy.
Yeah.
So.
Now, you brought up an interesting point. If Magneto was going to date somebody, I mean, he's dated people in the Marvel Universe, but if he was going to date somebody, who would you want to see him date? Ooh. Stumper, huh?
Sorry, I'm still imagining Magneto with a mustache. So right.
Yeah, first he grows the mustache, then he gets the ladies, just like all of us.
He's like, magnet rides, you know?
Don't do that? No, why would you say that?
I don't know why.
Unnecessary.
Said that. I'm sorry.
That's a terrible pickup line for him to be using, and you, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So magnet rides.
My mustache looks like a magnet.
That doesn't make... Oh, so he's like,
one of those.
Right. Yeah. With a little N and a little S on either side, shaved in.
That would be... See, if they're going to give him a haircut... They should give him that mustache.
The magnet stash?
Yeah, magnet stash.
He can dye it red, like right around the middle.
Yeah.
Too, so
yeah.
It's like these little white things at the end.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if anybody is listening to this exactly podcast
like
right now.
And then he can be like, I'm being attracted to your mouth with my magnetic mustache.
If anybody is listening to this podcast right now, you grow a magnet stash and send us a picture of it, I'll send you a free copy of Magneto Number One.
Cool.
Is that a good deal?
Yeah, ruin your life for a month and we'll send you a copy of Magneto Number One. Or if you have a sweet, is that a Fu Manchu that goes down that way?
No. Fu Manchu is kind of hanging down around.
Mustache expert?
Isn't it like a trucker? Is it a trucker stash?
What's a Fu Manchu? Is it this one? It doesn't necessarily dangle.
Yeah,
not necessarily.
Yeah, it has to, I think.
Wow, the whole audience is like, it dangles. I've never heard an audience react so unified. Yes. To dangle.
They actually
mustache.
All, I don't know if you could hear this, but all at the same time, they were like, one, two, three, yeah. It dangles.
They say that a lot during our show. It's a chant.
Cool. So thanks for answering the question about who would Magneto would do.
Rogue.
Yeah, Rogue, right?
Gotta be Rogue.
Yeah. No, I have to, because it was way back when they had the Alpha and Omega series and all of that, with like when Apocalypse wins. And,
uh-huh.
Like that's about the last time I got really caught up on the Marvel Universe in very DC sense. But yeah, I remember that. Like Rogue and Magneto dated then.
Yeah, they were in the sandwich land together. And she wore that bikini.
It was kind of gross, though, right? I mean, like, the whole idea is Magneto's really old. Like, you should be dating, like, somebody old, too.
Yeah. Who's old in the Marvel Universe?
Aunt May.
The only old person
in the Marvel Universe is Aunt May.
No, you need, like, old women who have been, like, de-aged the same way Magneto has been de-aged, like, multiple times. New bodies.
Wait, who?
Peggy Carter. That's a great Uncanny Avengers meeting. A+X.
I mean, I'm thinking about the Aunt May thing just because it could be an out-of-continuity story where Dr. Octopus and Magneto fight for her affections.
Yes.
Magneto's going to crush Dr. Octopus.
I don't know.
He's got metal arms.
He'll be like, I'm coming to get... Ow!
Yeah. He wouldn't even get out of his bed that day. Magneto would be over there.
Dr. Octopus, he would say.
Great stuff. who do you think Magneto should date?
I don't know.
A lot of older men date younger women. It's a thing. That's fine.
Sure. He gets like a fast car or something like that.
Yeah, he's clearly... Who has Magneto ever dated?
Rogue.
But is that the only person?
His wife. I'm sure he dated her at some point. I don't know if they immediately got married.
Who is his wife?
Maria?
Magda.
There you go.
I don't remember a lot of fun Magneto romance stories. I wonder how their courtship went.
Yeah, there was a Magneto miniseries like a few years ago that had their courtship.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, when they were really young, though, right, I think?
Yeah, and they get separated. It's a whole concentration camp.
Pretty tragic, I remember.
Yeah, they
she's
do...
a gypsy, right? I think that was the idea.
Well, that's how Scarlet Witch is a gypsy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There you go.
Man. Yeah, they could do some sort of like Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane teen series, but with Magneto and Magda.
Yep, set in...
All right, we're going to go on with our next comic book, Starlight, number one from Image Comics.
Yeah.
So this is by Mark Miller and Goran Parlov. Justin, you really like this book. You want to talk about it?
I did. This comic, focuses on an astronaut who goes into space.
An astronaut who goes into space?
Not all the astronauts go into space. Why don't you check out NASA right now, bro?
Yeah, I'll go to NASA right now, bro.
Well, there are a lot of astronauts sitting around being like, when the fuck are we going to go to space?
And they're like, whatever, dude.
Yeah, they're gnarly astronauts.
We go whenever we want.
So this focuses on a guy who goes into space, gets sucked into some sort of wormhole, has all these great sort of 1940s comics, Adam Strange-style adventures, meets all these exotic queens and princesses and all this. Then he comes back. He's married on Earth and has a pretty normal life. And in this comic, his wife dies, and it's pretty sad, and his kids don't really want to spend a ton of time with him, and he doesn't know what he's doing with his life.
Spoiler.
And then something happens at the end, which I won't spoil.
Well, they spoil it on the back and also the front of the issue.
And it's also the premise of the comic. And then a spaceship shows up and is probably going to be like, we need you for one last mission.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly what it says on the back of the comic.
I know. I read that.
Here's the thing. Great art in this book. Totally fine story. I don't know. I'm just a little tired of Mark Miller being like, hey, what if Flash Gordon was old? What if Wolverine was old? What if that happened? What if Batman was bad? What if Joker was good?
The dreamers have to ask those questions.
I don't know. It's just, I get there's a thing about a simple premise that you could sell in one pitch line like that, but it just feels like every single one of his pitch lines was like, what if this character that already existed I used in a public domain way and then did the opposite thing?
Yeah.
That's it.
But if you took his name off the cover of this, I think it would still be, it's a good story. And I really like Adam Strange.
If you took the name, if you took his name off the cover, that would be weird because I'd be like, who is the author of this book?
Right, but
who wrote this? There's no writer.
Yeah, what if it just appeared?
Yeah,
fully formed.
Did that come off too angry?
Is that? Yeah. You really, really stepped up on the old soapbox on that one.
All right. Cool.
people.
Oh, well, now you seem too sad.
Yeah, I don't
You're
know.
Flying the gamut.
I feel like I hurt Mark Miller's feelings, which is probably impossible.
I don't think he has a lot of feelings.
Probably not. Have you ever worked with Mark Miller?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't worked directly with him. My wife is editing Kick-Ass and MPH. That's coming out next week, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, Kick-Ass 3.
Yeah.
Is that just starting?
No, it's actually ending.
Ending.
Yeah.
I don't read that.
Yeah, the last issue.
Oh, wow.
The end of Kick-Ass. Yeah. I will say that I do think there are some nice character moments in here. Again, yes, like you're saying, if you took his name off the cover, it's a good character portrait, and I actually like this first issue as a first issue.
I almost
wish it was standalone. I almost wish it was just the story of this Flash Gordon guy, what happens years later after he comes to Earth, and is just very sad and lonely. It's a really nice story. But, he's going to get into space, he's going to have these adventures, he's going to...
He's going to say, I'm getting too old for this.
Well, being old, particularly in comics, never really affects you that much because it's a comic book.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. Aunt May can barely get around.
Sure, that's true.
But she dates.
That's what Magneto said.
Yeah.
Yeah. When she barely gets around, she really barely gets around.
Oh, boy. And I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at right now. It's great.
Thanks so much.
Keep on dreaming, dreamer.
Do you know where my head's at?
Yeah, I do know. I don't want to think about it.
My head is at that's the end of the stack.
Oh!
And now we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah!
And for your audience questions, I'm going to go out here in the audience. You guys can ask absolutely anything you want. It can be about comics, geek stuff, movies, video games, whatever. And if you ask a question, you're going to get some free comics, so that's pretty cool. So raise your hand if you ask a question, and I'm going to come to you, and you're going to ask it, and then you're going to get some free comics. What do you want? Come on, somebody.
What do you want?
What do you want?
What do you want to know?
You can ask these guys something. You can ask...
Questions about
yes,
wine.
Yes, you, sir, over there.
Cliff, have you thought about doing a creator-owned comic?
Yeah, I've thought about it a lot. I'm not sure what's happening, what I'm going to do after Wonder Woman's up, but that's definitely one of the things I'm looking at. It's great to be able to, you know, kind of tell your own stories. They've given us a lot of freedom with Wonder Woman, but it would also be nice to kind of come up with something and build it from the ground up.
Now, do you think it would be something that you would write and draw, or draw and find a writer?
Probably work with a writer at first, but I'm definitely going to be... I have things that I want to write as well.
Cool. How much more time do you have on Wonder Woman?
They haven't announced our last issue yet, but into, you know, the fall.
Yeah. Okay, so you got a little bit more time.
Yeah, we got a little bit.
Cool. And this is a side question, but I'm just curious, how far ahead does...
What? It's a sad question.
It's a sad question. When a puppy dies, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
Where do puppies go? Right. Where do puppies go?
Just in general, I want to know.
All dogs go to heaven as we...
So how far ahead does Brian work versus how far ahead do you work?
He's usually a couple months ahead, depending on... You know, right now, he's a couple months ahead because he's working with Goron, Tsujiko, who's doing a few issues, and then I come back in. So he's a couple ahead of us.
And I know there have been fill-in artists who kind of help you get ahead as well. How much do you work with them on the look of the book?
Tony Akins and Goron have both sent in pencils as they go, and if there's anything that seems weird, I usually don't have anything to add to the conversation there because I want them to do what they do.
Right.
But, you know, if there's sort of continuity things that'll crop up, then, you know, then I'll pipe in.
All right.
I think it's been a great, the way they work, I feel like, fits well so well with your style. I think it's been a nice, consistent look throughout, which
is a nice team.
Rare.
Like everybody kind of plays together. Yeah.
Really cool. Well done.
All right, great. You're going to get some free comics. You, sir, over there, come on over here because the mics do not stretch that far.
So the next X-Men movie has, like, you know, the past and future, like, you know, X-Men and everything. You think the next movie will have the same cast or which... Which thing, I mean, you think they're going to go with the future or are they going to keep going with the prequels?
Like the first class or...
Right. So there's X-Men Days of Future Past, which jumps between timelines, and then the next movie after that in 2016 is X-Men Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah, it sounds I, like mean, doing, I thought you were about to say something really like a cool secret about right. it.
Sure. I mean, actually, I have a pretty fair idea of what's going to happen.
So why would you ask us? Because we don't know anything about it.
All right. Well, because I want to embarrass you guys.
Why don't you tell us your cool secret?
No, wait, dude.
I think they will, this next one will probably incorporate, why don't you just tell me if I'm wrong? Okay? How about that? I feel like the third one, the Apocalypse movie, will incorporate some of the older, the 1960s X-Men. Maybe it'll end in a weird place, and then it'll has to move forward in time. It can't keep going back to the 60s.
Yeah, so, well, Days of Future Past takes place in the 70s, I think.
The 70s.
They've already moved forward a little bit in time.
Great.
The next movie, Apocalypse, Bryan Singer has said, is probably going to involve just the first class folks, so just not the folks that are getting steadily older, but Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, and Nicholas Hoult, and whoever else.
So he's going to go with all these Oscar-nominated actors to be
yeah,
in the movies?
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, it's a weird idea to use hot young actors.
What about James Marsden? Going to give up on the old James Marsden?
I'll tell you what. I actually hope that's an Easter egg at the end of Days of Future Past, where they reset the timeline and James Marsden is all like cyclopsing it up. That's a term, right?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He shows up and he's like, what's going on, guys? And they're like, Cyclops! And he's like,
yeah.
Where's Gene?
Marsden Cyclops forever.
Yeah.
Is what they'll
say. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other opinions, guys?
How do you guys like the first class cast versus the other cast from the older movies?
It's funny. I really liked the first class movie for a long time. And then I have this friend that pointed out, and I don't know, this is just one of those weird things that sticks out, but she was like, all of their haircuts are from, like, the 90s, not from the 60s.
Yeah, they all have the Rachel from Friends.
If you go back and you look, like, I don't even know why this bothered me so much until I learned it. But if you go back and you look, you're right. You're like you never see pictures of people in the 60s with those haircuts.
They all have, like,
they should have, like.
So you were more bothered by the haircuts than the fact that they killed the one African-American guy and turned the other one evil. But you were bothered by the haircuts. I just want to make sure. That was the main thing that bothered me.
Yeah, I don't know why that really ruined.
Wow,
yeah.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Wow, real attack question from Alex.
Way to make me look like a racist.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't have to try that hard. yes, you're gonna get some free comics. Let's get the next question over here.
A whole bunch of pictures and videos came out this week about the Flash and his new costume. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
Cool costume.
You like the costume?
I did, yeah.
So they had today, they sent out a full costume reveal of the Flash. Previously, they just showed his head, leading a lot of people to think the Flash was just a head that speeds around.
Yeah, no pants.
But no, he has a whole body.
It's great news.
Body.
Yeah.
So you liked it?
Yeah, he was running, which is his whole thing.
So it was a picture of him doing a runner's pose with a lightning bolt in the background.
That's straight Flash right
there.
That is all Flash.
I was not as crazy about the costume. I
liked
the headshot. I thought that was super cool. And then the whole costume, I don't know. There's something about it. It's just this dark red. I guess it's supposed to look like a runner's outfit or something like that. But there was something about it that was a little off for me.
Is it because he wasn't actually running?
Yes. Well, Cliff, did you see the costume?
I saw it. Like, pretty briefly, I saw a small picture of it. I think it should just be his head because his arms and legs are running too fast.
Yeah, like a blur. You know,
like, it's a blur, yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's
just his head, like, kind of
just flying around. I like that.
Yeah, I like that, too. I think that's a great idea.
Your head doesn't move no matter how fast you run. Yeah.
Well, maybe they could do, like, some Tron elements to it because, like, that was one of the great things about the Francis Manipul stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All, like, the kind of lightning and stuff that,
that
comes off
of
them.
That would be cool.
I agree. That would be very cool. I don't know if they want to do that on the old TV budget. But that's
yeah.
That's just
to be
problem.
Fair, the
in that
lightning
case, let's give him sneakers.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, remember all the costumes for all the CW shows have been pretty mediocre.
I mean, I know you don't watch Arrow. I think the costumes are pretty good on Arrow.
Well, isn't the whole thing with Arrow? They're just like your costume is no shirt.
Sure.
So you're saying,
I mean,
like, they
costumes,
really
yeah.
solved the costume problem, just being like, hey, you better work out for 4 years, and then we're gonna cast you on this. And the only costume you get is a little bit of baby oil.
That's a costume, right?
I guess.
If not, I don't know. My Halloween's the last couple have been real weird.
I'd venture to say they were weird anyway.
Cool. You're going to get some free comics as well. Yes, you, sir. Come on up.
To the brewer. What is the strangest brew you ever concocted?
Ooh.
Yeah, Burke, what's the strangest brew you ever concocted?
Like, in a professional setting, or...
amateur, professional?
Remember, he makes heroin.
Yeah.
I can say in my life, one of the worst things I ever decided to make was an entire batch of what we called trash can margaritas, which basically involves two or three, like, multiple 2 liters of Mountain Dew, several handles of vodka, an entire case of Natty Ice, and three or four frozen limeades.
Now, let me ask you, when you got this recipe out of a cookbook, I assume.
Oh, I was in prison, high class.
An old French out of print.
Yeah, exactly. I believe Julia Child first perfected the trash can margarita. Yeah. What were your expectations? What were you hoping for?
I'm very fond of saying that no good story has ever come from a good decision.
Okay, wow. You live your life on the edge.
So, the results are pretty much what you expected. Like, everyone that showed up to this particular party in college was, like, I think at one point we have, a roommate of mine has a picture of three girls in unison vomiting off of our front porch. It was not entirely the best result.
And that was the moment you knew you wanted to make wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Could I ask, what were your grades that semester?
they're all right. I was very motivated to take some time off and go abroad.
But wasn't the dean all over your ass after that party?
I know, right?
Yeah, we solved it with a little panty raid.
Amazing. Cool. You're going to get some free comics as well. I think we have one more stack, right?
This is my stack, but I'll give it away. I got to move in a couple weeks. So.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. I guess that's it for your audience questions. All right. Woo. Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah,
Week in Geek.
Okay, good. This one.
Yeah. First thing we're going to talk about in Week in Geek, new episode of The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you guys watch Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not caught up, though.
No. Okay, well,
sorry
about ruining your...
Sorry. It's all right. It's all right.
On the spoiler front, have you guys seen the episode descriptions that they put up this season for Walking Dead?
No.
For the half season? You know, usually you get an episode description and it's something like, Rick and the governor finally face off at the prison with the cost of life on the line or something. You know, something that actually describes the episode. The description of the Beth Darrell episode 2 episodes ago was, a member of the group has a strange request.
Right. I did read that.
That was it. That was the whole description of the episode. So they've been very tight about spoilers, even though, I mean, relatively speaking, not a lot happens.
No.
But this half season has been great so far.
I didn't love the Beth Darrell episode.
What?
Which we talked about last week.
Sure.
You can go back and re-listen to my opinion on that.
I'd rather.
Okay. I don't listen
to podcasts.
Yeah, cool. This episode I thought was better than that. It was nice to see more of the characters. I wanted them to come together. I feel like this is taking too long.
Really?
Yeah.
So in this episode, we have Maggie, Sasha, and Bob Stuckey are all together.
Yep.
And then we also see more of Beth and Daryl and what's going on with them. I thought it was great. I mean, part of the reason I thought it was great, bear with me for a second, is the show is really starting to feel like Lost, but in a good way. You have all of these characters wandering around, trying to find each other, come back together. This episode was all about whether they should live together or die alone.
Right.
And, like, to a T, to the point where some of them find, at the end, they're separated, they get back together, and there's kind of a slow motion montage of them hugging while music plays.
That was very Losty. I didn't think of
it
that.
It was crazy Losty. I love Lost. So watching the show right now is hitting that sweet spot for me.
Curtis Gwynn wrote this episode. And
oh, he did?
Yeah. This was, I think, his last episode, actually, on the show. He's leaving the show.
Oh, no. What's he doing?
He's moving on to a show on HBO that I don't remember the name of, but is coming out.
True Blood?
No. A new show.
Game of Thrones?
No. That's not new.
Herman's Head?
That is a show from the early 90s on Fox.
Cool. Okay.
I don't know what the name of it is, but it is. You can find it out online. And he's a huge Lost fan.
Gotcha.
So maybe there was some, that was an obvious choice.
Maybe. I did like this episode a lot. I also thought there was a really cool scene where three of the characters are trapped in the fog fighting zombies. And I feel like we've gotten into this rut where it's a ton of zombies attack, somebody kills 300 zombies, runs away a little bit, kills 300 more zombies, and that's pretty much it. Here, having these zombies come in and out of the fog was a very cool, scary new way of hitting it. I really like that a lot.
It was cool. What do you think of Bob? What do we think of Bob the character?
He was a totally different character this episode because he was super happy.
He was very happy,
it
but
was
he
weird
was
seeing somebody happy on this show.
Is he going to end up being like a bad character? Like,
I don't
they're
think
setting
so.
Him up that he is maybe a problem. They keep mentioning the other groups he was with, and it seems like they're setting him up to be lying about it, I think.
Maybe, except the top of the episode, we find out how he met everybody.
Yeah.
He's super sad, wandering by himself, drinking cough syrup to get drunk and taunting zombies. And then Daryl and Glenn find him, and basically they ask him the three questions that they ask everybody before they bring him back to the prison. And he's like, look, I just don't want to be alone anymore.
Yeah.
That's it. It seemed very genuine to me.
I just felt like what groups were you with? The way that Glenn and Daryl look at each other makes me think that they're going to set him up to that he's lying.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about Beth and Daryl? Are they ever going to get together?
I mean, that seems to be what they're pointing at a little bit in these last two episodes.
He's 18 years old. He is however old he is.
Yeah, older than I think they established that he's like
3,000.
Like 40, I think, or something.
Yeah, something like that.
In the first Beth and Daryl episode. So I don't know. It seems like there were some awkward like first date moments in this episode.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, usually on a first date, you go relax in a coffin while the girl sings you a weird song, right?
Check my profile. That's
right.
My
second date, you take her to the kitchen to eat pig's feet.
Yeah. Yeah, live the dream.
Yeah, cool. Next thing to move on to. So as I mentioned earlier, I got to see a screening about a week ago of Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, or Captain America, The Winter Soldier. And I can't say a whole lot about it.
Okay.
But I will say that it's awesome.
Now, when you say that, what
yes.
do you mean?
What do I mean?
Do you mean
what do I mean specifically, like laying out the plot?
Don't lay out the plot. Is it the best, better than you'd expected, better than others, or the worst?
Oh, boy. I should mention I work for the entertainment industry, so I don't know if I can take this survey.
It's just a Facebook survey, so
don't worry about it.
Great, okay. The stakes are really low.
Well, here's what I'd say about it. It's I can't quite figure out ranking in terms of Marvel movies. I will say it's, in terms of character arcs, I think it's the most fully realized Marvel movie. Mm. That it really legitimately, it feels like an adult action movie that happens to be set in the Marvel universe, if that makes sense.
Cool.
And that's not a slam at anything else. You know, the Marvel movies have a certain feel to them. They're very exciting. They're really fun. Everybody gets their own character arc for the most part. They're all very good character arcs. This is the best Black Widow movie. Like, if you've been waiting for a Black Widow movie, this is the Black Widow movie you've been waiting for.
If you could compare it to another non-Marvel movie, who would you compare it to? You can take a minute to think about it.
It's not really comparable, actually.
To any movie ever? There have been so many movies. Surely there's
one. I don't
know.
Was Herman's Head a movie?
Not until I get it sold. But no.
I don't know. I would say, actually, despite what I just said, it is almost like Avengers 2.
Ah, okay.
It's the closest follow-up to Avengers we've had so far.
Okay.
Is that fair?
So you're comparing it to a movie that no one has seen and hasn't been made yet.
Oh, I meant Avengers also.
Oh, okay.
But I said that weird.
Great.
Yeah, I meant it's comparable to Avengers.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And that it is kind of like Avengers, too.
I said Avengers also.
I said that in a weird way.
Yeah.
Anyway, Captain America the Winter Soldier coming to theaters April 4th. Go see it. It's great.
Great.
Cool. Another thing I can mention, I talked to Karen Gillan this weekend about Guardians of the Galaxy over at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. She's, as always, awesome and amazing. Not Kieran Gillen. I could have talked to Kieran Gillen about it. That would have been weird because he has nothing to do with it.
Right.
But Karen Gillen, we put this up on MTV News, but there was the cool info that she mentioned. She talked a little bit about her fight with Zoe Saldana. Really, the only info she gave up is that it was an exciting fight sequence to do, that Zoe Saldana really needed no training whatsoever, while Karen Gillan needed to train every single day for 2 months. She said that she was like spaghetti, is essentially how she described it. And she said, in terms of the fight scene, that there's a lot of fights in the movie that are big galactic fights and also small fights. But for her character, Nebula, the fight with Gamora is the most important one, that it's very personal at the same time as it's an awesome fight.
Cool.
Yeah. There you go.
That movie's going to be awesome, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for the movie. I've heard a bunch of backlash against that movie recently, which I was very surprised about.
Pre-backlash?
Have you guys seen the trailer? What did you think about Guardians of the Galaxy?
It was cool to see, like, a different genre of movie, I think. You know, I mean, it had, like, the superhero action to it, but, like, just seeing this kind of funnier sci-fi take, it was really unexpected, and I think it, you know, took a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah. Burke, what about you?
Yeah, no, I'm super excited about it. I wasn't super familiar with the franchise before, and the trailer made me actually go read old Guardians of the Galaxy and think about it. I think it's going to be great.
What did you end up reading?
To be honest, just, like, whatever I could find, like, in terms of, like, I actually have this bad habit of, like, I never read Flashpoint, but I read the entire synopsis, like, all the way through all these. Like, I get really excited about plot points and everything, and then, I go back and I've completely spoiled the entire story, and then usually by then I go back and buy the comics, like... So I basically have read, nice, like, the whole history of it, and now I need to actually go start collecting the comics.
So you started on Wikipedia?
I know, exactly, right?
Yeah. Wow, you love spoilers.
Awesome. Cool. Last thing I'll mention, this is actually probably by the time you guys listen to this at home going to be on, but I also chatted with Jamie Alexander about her episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week. And again, not a ton of info. The fun thing that we talked about at the very end, I asked her whether... she would be up for doing a Sif TV series, because now she is appearing as Sif, obviously, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And she said, absolutely. The second she is all in on Marvel, she would do anything for them. The second they ask her to do that, she is there. And if the fans want it to happen, they should let Marvel know.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah.
What do you guys think? Would you want to see a Sif solo TV series, maybe called Journey into Mystery or something like that? Just spitballing.
I don't know. That doesn't seem like a full TV series. It's so specific. It's so Asgardian that I don't know. I don't know if I would.
Wow.
What? I feel like I broke your heart.
I mean, that's just crazy misogynist of you.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I don't know. He's racist. You're misogynist. I just don't know how to deal with it.
And you're a big at accusations.
I am a big accusationist. What do you guys think? Would you want to see a Sif series?
Yeah, but probably on cable. I'd like to see, like, you know, 10 episodes of it, not like a full season, but just 10 really great episodes.
Yeah, with like a lot of cursing.
Yeah, with cursing, a good budget, you know, some good special effects.
Yeah, but mainly the cursing.
Mostly cursing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Asgardian cursing, too, so we don't actually, you know.
So she's like,
racist.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, now who's being racist?
That is not how Asgardians talk at all.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. Just, you can pull the Battlestar Galactica, where you can just create your own curse words.
Bracket.
Smart. Yeah.
No. I'm excited. Like, I keep watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I, like, it's fine. I know there's been a lot of backlash on it, and like, but I still am in love with the concept, and I think that it might take them a whole other season to, like, find their voice. But there's, to me, they're it's interesting. They remind me, like, old Star Trek episodes or things like that. Like, it's too much, like, or like X-Files, like, Monster of the Week episodes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not what's made so many other TV series, and what's brought TV even, I think, in front of movies is, like, this ability to create these big, long stories that really grow somewhere. And really, yeah, exactly. So, like, I think they need to embrace that in a little bit more, but I still believe in it. Like, I still keep watching it, hoping they're gonna get there. Like,
but. Yeah, I think they will. I mean, it seems like they're moving towards some seismic changes by the end of the season, and that'll give them a chance. I can't imagine that show not getting a second season. It'll give them a chance to realign things, I think, quite a bit.
Yeah, no, I hope so.
Cool. All right, that's it for your Week of Geek. Guys, we're going to go to your next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Justin Tyler.
Oh, boy. Good evening. I'm filling in for Mr. P. LePage here in the trivia front. Who would like to win 20? This gentleman right down here, please come on stage.
Come
win
on
25 free dollars in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Sir, please tell us your name.
I'm Elliot.
Elliot. Audience. Elliot. Elliot. Audience. Hello, hey. Everyone. Great. So we're going to ask, I'm going to ask you three questions with multiple choice answers.
Awesome.
All you have to do is choose the correct answer, and the gift card will be yours.
Awesome.
Here we go. The theme for the trivia section tonight is Comic Book Club host Pete LePage.
Great. Great.
Question number one.
Awesome.
The last name LePage roughly translates to A, young French servant, B, old angry bub, C, does not wash his slippers, or D, secret fan of Frankencastle.
Those all sound great, but I'm going to go with A.
A is correct. No hint. Young French servant, Pete LePage. Question number two. What character does Pete feature on said slippers? Is it A, Wolverine, B, Punisher, C, himself, or D, 18th century Prussian philosopher Immanuel Kant?
Oh, it's got to be B.
It is B, Punisher, correct. Crushing it. No hints. No hints necessary. Question number three. On an episode of Comic Book Club, Pete and I were married by a, is it A, Jedi, B, young French servant, or C, I don't remember, but I love him so much.
I know it immediately. It's A.
It's A, Jedi, correct. Elliot, you killed it. Great job. I'll take that and that. And see us after the show for the gift card that's wherever Pete is right now.
Oh, boy. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Wait on that sound cue. What are you looking forward to?
Oh, boy. What did I say earlier? I don't remember.
I'm not sure either.
Here, you go first.
Oh, I'm looking forward to Daredevil number one.
Oh, great. Great choice.
Yeah,
that is
controversial choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's rebooting. Daredevil is going to San Francisco, so that's going to be pretty exciting.
I know. It's interesting. That seems to be, according to the end of the last issue, the only change is just a different city, which I think is such a nice...
Well, I'll tell you, I've read the script for the first issue.
Uh-huh.
Crazy stuff happens.
Oh, really? So there are perhaps some larger changes?
There may be some larger changes. I will not say what they are.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, but it's San Francisco, so draw your own rice-a-roni.
You think it's rice-a-roni?
Yeah, maybe he's eating some rice-a-roni in the issue. I don't know.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to Superior Foes of Spider-Man. That comic is super fun. It's a bunch of villains focused on how they're like just blowing it over and over again, and it's great. It's Nick Spencer writes it, and it's really fun and funny.
So do you think there's been a lot of talk online about whether that book with Superior Spider-Man ending, whether that book will also end or be rebooted as something else? What do you think?
As the Amazing Foes of Spider-Man?
Possibly.
I think it could keep going. I don't know how the sales are on it, but I think that Spider-Man's not even in it. So that doesn't even really need... It doesn't matter whose brain is running the Spider-Man body.
Yeah. I almost hope the series ends... Because this story they've been telling is so great. I hope they finish off the story and then start a new story with either the same or similar characters.
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
Reboot.
Cool. Cliff, what are you looking forward to?
I should plug the fourth Wonder Woman hardcover that's coming out. I think it's called War. I don't know where it's called.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Right, I think. And it's a pretty important arc where a lot of the status quo definitely changes in this. One of the cool things is... they actually print the plot that Brian sends me and that I work from, and then they actually show 20 pages of my pencils with my, like, kind of placeholder dialogue.
Oh, wow.
And stuff. So
oh,
you actually
awesome.
Get a real peek behind the curtain.
So he works Marvel style. He works outline style,
we work
right?
Marvel style on the book. Huh. He writes full script more or less for everybody else, but we've... One of the benefits of working so closely for the last few years is that we can kind of... We know each other's rhythms and can kind of finish each other's sentences, so it works out a lot easier this way. So he sends me like a script, and I'll kind of break it down into panels and action, and call him up if there's anything that I see as being like either problematic to draw, or you know, or see if there's other things we can add to the story. So it works out really great. I can see why people do comics that way. It's really collaborative, and you have to have a lot of trust with who you're working with.
Cool. Awesome. Anything else you want to plug?
That I want to plug? No. I'm really looking forward to the Anchorman Ron Burgundy life-size stand-up. Yeah. I've been ordered, you know, I've had it on order for a while.
Nice.
Is that in continuity?
I believe it is.
Yeah. Okay, good.
It's and they're re-releasing it with more swear words again.
Great. Cool. Burke, what are you looking forward to?
Cliff took mine. So I'm going to say this thing that I spotted on this list here, which is the Nerf Zombie Strike Crossfire Bow.
Yeah, I previewed that at San
$24.99.
It's my favorite Nerf Zombie Strike.
The worst part of it is it comes with a zombie that you have to then strike.
Right.
Hopefully they're not going to sell you a bow that can't take out the zombie that comes with it.
Yeah, exactly. But if you miss...
Nerf would never do that.
Yeah, Nerf for nothing, guys. Nerf.
Oh, boy. Burke, plug some of your stuff.
We actually are literally probably tomorrow, if I can get to it, we will actually officially relaunch the email releasing our 2012 heroin. So hopefully after the show, you guys can all come over. We'll pour you a quick glass. You guys can try it.
Yeah.
You can get the sneak peek a whole 24 hours in advance.
Awesome. Ooh,
and that's
look
at
that.
iconicwine.com?
Yep, iconicwine.com. And then I also just released my first book that I authored.
That's right. That's Eat Ink? Is
yeah,
that
so it's Eat Ink, I-N-K. So
that's
one of the,
terrible advice.
Like, yeah.
But.
Unless it's Squid Ink, maybe. But.
Right.
One of the cool things about doing wine and running around and being in a chance to meet all these great restaurants and all of that is I also met a bunch of really cool chefs throughout. So me, along with my partner on that project, Daniel Holton, who's the photographer, did a profile of 60 chefs nationwide, tons of food tattoo, photo porn, and then every chef contributed a recipe. So it's kind of half cookbook, half photojournalism.
That's awesome.
So
that's super cool. All right, great. A couple of things before we go, Justin.
Friend us on Facebook so you can keep track of all of our wonderful guests. And follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep, you can check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. There's a couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. Also, we want to thank Cliff for being on the show.
Yeah.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's, but most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Good night, guys!